to Earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
I'm gonna serve up. That's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free sting.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Everybody better listen up because this is the one and only Late Hits for the week. This is the only live, local, consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1. Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass at the Master Controls at Sean A. Mapes. And, of course, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. And, yes, this is the only Late Hits this week, as we will have the great Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, on tomorrow night. We will have Texas A&M Aggies basketball on both Wednesday and Friday. And on Thursday, I'm actually traveling to New York because my cousin's getting married. He is the last one in the group of like people who are around my age. He's the last one to get married. So if you're familiar with New York weddings, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of top-shelf food. There's going to be all top-shelf liquor, and it's all open bar. And considering I'm going up by myself, the wife and the kids are staying home, I intend on not remembering a whole lot of this night. I intend on having to get myself a couple of drink aids before I go to the wedding and make sure I don't wang up with the worst hangover in town. I intend on having a lot of fun. So I will be gone pretty much after Wednesday. And while Wednesday, I'll actually be doing an interview on Wednesday with WWE Hall of Famer, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Because Wednesday, WrestleMania packages go on sale. And trying to convince my wife that I need to take my son as part of like graduation for high school, I'm taking him to WrestleMania, which is going to be 4 hours north in Dallas at Jerry World. And that I am going to spend the inordinate amount of money that it costs to go to WrestleMania, trying to convince her this is a requirement, is proven to be difficult. This has proven to be a difficult task. The little lady does not seem to understand the justification of dropping several thousand dollars to go to see wrestling, as she puts it. But it's WrestleMania. How many times do you go to WrestleMania? You know, I have never been to WrestleMania. I've been to King of the Ring. I've been to the Royal Rumble several times. I've been to SummerSlam. But I've never been to WrestleMania. And I feel like that's just, you know, it's on the bucket list. And I kind of want to check it off. Packages go on sale tomorrow. Wednesday. Packages go on sale on Wednesday. And I feel like, you know, going to see WrestleMania with my son would be really awesome. Then, in the process of that conversation, my daughter, who's a freshman in high school, butted in and goes, "What about me? I want to go." All right, three of us are going. Now that few grand is now like several grand. And the missus was not pleased.
Is that really what WrestleMania tickets run?
To get, like, the lowest package, because it includes more than just the ticket,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's, like, $600 a person.
Dang.
And that's, like, the bottom row, mm-hmm. like, the bottom rung
You're
package.
Getting the Jordan Love family seats
yeah,
up so at the top of the
pretty
stadium.
Much. But, you know, I mean, it's WrestleMania. It's Jerry World. They've got the biggest screen in the history of screens. You're not going to watch it down there anyway. You're going to watch it on the screen. But just the idea of being in the environment. We went to go see the Royal Rumble when it was at Minute Maid Park. And that was freaking awesome. Now, we had pretty good seats. We were maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 rows from the field. But then, you know, you've got to go all the way out to the middle of the field where the ring is. But we had good seats for the event. There was a part where it was Roman Reigns and somebody else were fighting. And, like, they were slamming each other on top of, like, these big, like, setups and stuff. They were right there right in front of us. So we had a bird's eye view for all that. It was cool. My kids had a great time. My son actually had one of his friends come, and he had never been to a big event like that. And it was awesome. And we had a lot of fun. So I kind of want to do that for WrestleMania, especially since it's here in Dallas. You know, sometimes you never know where WrestleMania is going to be. Could be in New York, outside, in April, when it's like 50 degrees. No. All right, been there, done that. I do not want to be outside in New York, not even in New York, but in the swamps of Jersey. Do not want to be outside on a Sunday night when it probably gets down like 40 degrees. Yeah, no. I don't want to be outside in San Francisco. You know what? It's cold up there, too, in April. Jerry World, indoors. I'm all set for that. It's only 4 hours away.
Yeah, it's also the easiest, you know, there's no plane ticket or anything involved.
No, we could drive up, get a hotel, hang out, swim in the pool, relax, go to WrestleMania. Go to, like, all different parties and stuff. Yeah. I mean, until they put WrestleMania at NRG. That's as close. I mean, that's as close as we're going to get. I don't think the Alamo Dome is big enough to have WrestleMania. Not anymore, anyway. I mean, maybe once upon a time, but 20 years ago. But I don't think the Alamo Dome is big enough to have WrestleMania anymore. So, going to talk to Jimmy Hart on Wednesday. Got to figure out how I'm going to sneak these tickets in behind my wife's back, and then be like, oh yeah, Well, I talked to Booker, and he hooked me up. Lies. Straight lies.
You should have seen the prices before Booker T got involved.
Yeah, really? I called Book. I asked him to do me a huge solid.
He said, this is the best I can do for you. And, you know?
I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. I've known Book for 8 years. I consider Booker a friend. I would not ask him for tickets. I just feel like that is so inappropriate. Because, number one, you know everything their brother's going to ask him for him, and is going to have to tell him all no. And I've never asked Book for anything that he said no. I just feel like it's inappropriate. Like, it's not, you know, like, if it's Raw or SmackDown, I don't even have to ask. I'm like, yo, you want tickets? I'm like, yeah, man. But for WrestleMania?
It's a big ask.
That's the biggest ask ever.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's inappropriate to ask for that. You know, it's not like, you know, he's my brother-in-law. And
yeah,
I can,
yeah. Like, y'all are friends.
Yeah, we're friends. Like, respect the boundary of friendship. Do not ask for things that you know you should not be asking for. You know, like, if you have a friend and you're like, hey, man, can I borrow, like, $200 till, like, the end of the week? Depending on how well you know the friend, you'll borrow them $200. You'll let them borrow $200 because you know they're good for it at the end of the week. All right, if your friend comes up to you and says, hey, man, can I borrow $10,000? Chances are you're telling them to bleep off. Can I borrow $10,000? I'm sorry, what?
No. From who?
Wait, don't you have a Porsche? Why do you need $10,000 from me? Yeah, so that there's a lot of fun stuff going on. And unfortunately, this will be the only show this week because you know, we got a lot of Aggies basketball this week. And I'm going up to the wedding, and I intend on having a wonderful time. And next week I'll be here for a couple of days and then heading out to Vegas for the number one Reality Wrestling, Booker T's wrestling promotion. They're having a huge show in Vegas on that Friday, which I was invited to, and I was not going to say no. And then the following night, we've got Crawford and Porter in one of the biggest fights of the year. And I'll be covering that fight, which I'm really excited for. That's going to be a great fight. So fun time. Heading out to Vegas. It's like I'm not even going to have time to like do degenerate things. I'm going to be busy. I'm gonna be working.
It's a business trip.
Yeah. Like how many times do you go to Vegas? You're like, yeah, I really don't have time to like play cards or play craps or yeah, I got stuff to do. I got stuff to do, man. I got stuff to do. And I know people are like, oh, come on, man, just go find yourself some time to, you know, to go be a degenerate. I don't want to be a degenerate. I want to go do the stuff that I want to do because that's fun for me.
Yeah, this it's the rare situation where, like, the reason you're going to Vegas is not for all the other reasons to go to Vegas. And Vegas will always be there. The degenerate stuff will always be there. You don't know the next time you're going to see that kind of fight or get to hang out at the wrestling promotion.
No, and I have a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time and people that I've known for a long time but I've never met, you know, just working through the industry that I intend on, you know, making relationships with and meeting these guys. And, you know, for while I'm out there, I'm looking to be bringing on, you know, we'll have some guests come on. We'll get them on with you guys. We'll get them on with the network. We'll have a good time. Like, these are like, this is stuff I want to, like, I intend on being busy. Not, hey man, you want to play poker? No, I really don't. I tell you what, though. Jerry Bo's out at the World Series of Poker.
Oh, yeah.
And my cousin's soon-to-be bride.
Oh, the wedding that you're going to.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's at the World Series of Poker playing.
Nice.
And she's, like, she's trying to get herself enough chips that she can fly back to get married and then go back to play afterwards.
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
I
that might be the cool, like, just full stop, the coolest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, no, I'm trying to stack it up, the World Series of Poker, yeah. And then I need to go get married, then I'm coming right back.
Now, there are a lot of women who play in the World Series of Poker. So, she's playing, and she's getting interviewed because she's one of the few women who are there. She doesn't tell them that she's getting married on Friday!
That's like, what I was going to say.
You would be the biggest story. Everybody would have the camera on. Why, Marianne, why didn't you tell them that you're getting married on Friday? You'd be everybody's favorite. So, her name is Marianne Way, and she's playing in the World Series of Poker. And I know she plays again tomorrow. And she's, you know, hoping to have a big enough thing where she can blind out for Friday and then go back and play. Because she's got to go back to New York on Friday and get married. To my cousin, no less. Which is kind of amazing. They've been together forever, too. It's not like they just met last year. They've been dating. They got to be dating at least 10 years. They finally decided they're going to get married. And it just so happens that she gets into the World Series of Poker the same year they're going to get married. It's right in the same line of what their wedding date is. And so far, she's doing pretty good. I just think that's awesome. I want her to do well enough that I can bring her on the show after she's married because I won't get the chance to before she's married. But that's pretty cool. And my cousin, who is a stand-up comedian and professional wrestler, like the two of them are
what an awesome couple.
Yeah, it's,
we got a poker player dedicated to the craft so much that she's trying to figure out this way to get off for a wedding, and then you have a professional wrestler / stand up comedian. That's wow.
So, it's gonna be a very fun wedding when I go for New York this weekend. All right, coming up next. And so the charade begins. The Astros offseason is here. Oh, there's a lot to get to. Next.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So the Astros offseason begins. And it begins with Carlos Correa and Justin Verlander getting qualifying offers. Now, you might have seen something on the interwebs regarding offers made to Carlos Correa. Mark Berman of Fox 26, Scoop Berman, reporting that the Astros made an offer to Carlos Correa of 5 years and $160 million. And the only thing I could say is, why did you even bother? If you were just going to shovel horse manure at him, you could have just said, hey, you know what? We're just not in. Making an offer that you know is ridiculously low. This is, you know, you walked into the Mercedes dealership, looked at that S600 and said, yeah, I'll give you 30 grand. No, not the used one, the brand new one with all the bells and whistles. Yeah, that fully loaded with the AMG package. Yeah, I'll give you 30 grand. And they laugh you out the door. If you're not offering Carlos Correa at least something in the neighborhood of the Lindor contract, you're getting laughed out the door. When you offer half the years and less than half the money, considering they're hitting free agency, same age, right? This is the same age that Lindor was a year ago. Correa is better, statistically, higher WAR for his career. We won't even get to last year because last year Lindor played like a AAA player. Meanwhile, Carlos Correa led all position players in both WAR and defensive WAR. Yeah, 5 years and 160. You know, when Crane, we played the audio of Jim Crane last week saying that, oh, well, you know, talking about how James Click said we'll put our best foot forward. And, well, you know, we got to try to find that ground where, like, things work for him and work for us. If 5 and 160 is what you thought was a legitimate starting point, you just lied to every single person in this city. Because that is nowhere near a starting point. You might as well have just told him, hey, man, bleep you. All right, and I don't want the, oh, come on, Crate, you know, it's $160 million. Like, what are you? They don't live in our world. Okay, $160 million, you, me, yeah, we're signing on the dotted line as fast as we can. Because you and me, we're never getting that money again. He is. He's getting more. He knows it. Sports are entertainment. No different than a rock star or a movie star. Sports are entertainment. And no, if you just did 5 more sit-ups in high school, you would not have been the star player. No, you can't do what they did. No, you couldn't ever have done what these guys do. As far as, you know, people who think that, oh, well, you're like, I could have been an athlete. You got a better chance of being an actor than you do of being an athlete. Yeah, I couldn't do that either. But when the last shortstop got 10 years and $341 million, and you come in half the years, less than half the money, on a guy who's better, who's your number one overall pick, who's your all-star, who's now your Gold Glover, your Rookie of the Year, your team captain, you might as well have just slapped him across the face. It's an embarrassment for a team in the fourth biggest city in the country with more money than they know what to do with. It's an embarrassment. All right, and I'm tired of hearing people say, well, you know, they can't afford. That's BS. Oh, well, you know, there's not enough money. That's BS. The Atlanta Braves, quarter two this year, beat their 2019 revenues. That means pre-pandemic. They beat their 2019 revenues at a time when they had to have limited capacity in the stadium. Quarter two. Now, if they beat quarter two, what do you think quarters three and four are going to look like? And that's the Braves. Mid-market. I am tired of people being so gullible, so foolish. oh, well, they can't afford this, they can't afford that. That is a load of crap that they feed you because they know you're going to buy it. Let's get something straight, people. Every time a team says, oh, we got to cut payroll, we got to save here, we got to save there, do your ticket prices go down? No, they don't. Does your parking price go down? No, it doesn't. I had a friend tell me that parking in the A lot for the World Series was $400 to park. Do you think your concession prices are going down? Do you think your merchandise prices are going down? Here's another one. Do you think the price that you pay for AT&T Sportsnet on your cable or satellite package is going down? Because the answer is no, not now, not ever. Doesn't matter what they pay in payroll, your price goes up. So they damn well better put the best product out there. They've been printing money since 2017. 5 straight ALCS. 3 trips to the World Series in 5 years. How many of you spent $85 on a hoodie? Because I bought 4 of them. Or $40 on a hat. Got 6 of those. That's just this year. Not to mention the t-shirts or the cups and all the other nonsense that my kids and my wife want. We all do it. We all spend on the playoff stuff. Every one of us. And playoff stuff, that's all owner money. All those billions of dollars in TV revenue, that all goes to the owners. Players get like less than 5% of playoff revenue money. Playoff bonuses are bumpkus. That's why in the pandemic season, they only played 60 games. The owners wanted to have an extra round of playoffs because that's just money in their pocket. They don't share it. When are y'all going to wake up to this? Stop siding with greedy owners. Pay the players that you actually want to watch. How many of you go to Minute Maid Park to watch James Click? Zero, right? Zero? How many of you go to Minute Maid to watch Jim Crane? You go to watch the players. Players are what drive tickets. Players are what drive success. Pay the damn players. Because I know my cost to go to the game never getting less. Oh, it doesn't make sense to pay that guy. Of course it does. All the contracts they've done long term that have been on the under 30 side pretty much all work out. It's the ones that are 32 and up that generally don't work out in the end. But you know what? They made so much money on those deals in the beginning with all the merchandise they sold. Even with Albert Pujols being really, after his second year in L.A., he was half the player he used to be. People can't stop buying Pujols jerseys. People still come out to watch Albert Pujols. As hated as A-Rod was, people were still buying A-Rod jerseys in the Bronx. I know, I was there. Enough of this, they can't afford it, they have to watch the spending, well, if they do this, they can't do that. It's all BS! It's the same organization that didn't sign Dallas Keuchel, didn't sign Charlie Morton, didn't sign Garrett Cole, didn't sign George Springer. Now they're going to not sign Carlos Correa or Justin Verlander. Y'all are cool with this. Because I'm not. I don't want to. Hey, you know, we got to the World Series, but we didn't win. Well, what do you think the Astros would have been this year if they signed Garrett Cole? Who, for all the ups and downs people think he had, he's going to finish second in the Cy Young. I'll tell you something. If Garrett Cole pitched for the Astros this year, there'd have been a parade here. Good weather, bad weather, we wouldn't have cared. We'd have showed up anyway. This nonsense of, well, you know, this guy wants this much, and that's too much money. What's too much money? all the, they got a whole bunch of new TV contracts that kick in next year. And the lowest ones go up 65% from the year before. They're going to blow away their, people don't understand. Major League Baseball for 20 years made record money leading up to the pandemic. Every single year, they made a new record amount of income for 20 straight years. And then when the pandemic came, they only played 60 games, they sat there and cried poverty. They complained, oh, we don't have any money. You've been making record profits for 20 years. What the hell did you do with the money? Oh, yeah, you stuffed it in your pockets. And then this year, half the year, didn't even have full stadiums. Back to record profits. Next year, super record profits. And we don't even know if they're going to start the year on time. Oh, the charade has begun. Just don't be dumb enough to fall for it. Late hits.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
And I'm going to take a minute here to tell you about Dr. Jennifer Joseph at Get Physical RX Physical Therapy. Now, I've been going to see Dr. JJ now for a few weeks. Actually, about a month now. Going to see Dr. JJ, and she's great. She's really doing wonders with my neck, my shoulders. You guys have known me for a long time. I've been putting off neck surgery for 8.5 years. And there are a lot of times I can't turn my neck at all. I literally have to turn my entire body so I can, like, change views. And Dr. JJ has been working with me to increase mobility and range of motion on my neck. And for the first time in years, I've been able to, like, turn 90 degrees on my neck. I've been able to do that in years. And my first... The first time that I met her, the first thing we did, we talked for 35 minutes. Just talked. She just wanted to know what my issues were, what my previous diagnoses were, what my challenges are. She wanted to know about me and what I deal with on a daily basis so that she could create a physical therapy service tailored specifically to me. She focuses on movement, balance, and strength so that you can get back to living your best life. Go see Dr. JJ. She's got a brand new facility in North Houston. Give her a call, 346-386-6683. 346-386-6683. You can call her now. You can leave a message. They'll get back to you. Don't worry about that. 346-386-6683. Or go to getphysicalrx.com. Getphysicalrx.com. So you got a little rowdy in the last segment, huh? You know, that happens on this show. Sometimes we get a little rowdy. Sometimes we get a little rowdy because we're tired of the nonsense and the BS that gets passed around and this, you know, this idea that, you know, we're all a bunch of good old boys down here and we just let everything just kind of be okay. Nah, I didn't like that. See, you can be critical of something a team does and still be a fan of the team, still love the team. I mean, the Texans are really testing the limits of that. But in general, you know, you can be critical of a team and still love them. I mean, hell, I've been a Met fan my whole life. You think I've never been critical of the Mets? I mean, the Mets freaking invented ways to screw up. Oh, we can't screw it up in baseball. Let's go get a guy who runs a pyramid scheme and a Ponzi scheme and screw it up with him. You know, we'll commingle all the money across all our businesses and really screw everything up. So it's not like I'm, you know, anti-Astros. I'm not. I'm very pro-Astros. I love the Astros. You can't cover a team for 8 years and not develop, like, an appreciation of that team, especially the guys on the Astros. How many of those guys are good dudes? Nobody covered Jose Altuve for 8 years and said, man, that guy's a schmuck. I ain't talking to him no more. Everybody loves Altuve. We loved Springer. We loved Carlos. You know what? Up until this year, when everybody wanted to make a big deal out of Justin Verlander staying in Florida and doing his rehab instead of being here to, you know, sit in the stands and, you know, make face with the camera, everybody loved Justin Verlander, too. And the, he wasn't here. He couldn't pitch. What the hell's the difference? Why do you care? Well, Josh Reddick was here. Josh Reddick didn't have a job!
They wanted to be the highest paid pitching coach in the league? Assistant pitching coach, I guess, DeStrom?
No, you don't like, you don't want everybody giving you something different.
Yeah, exactly. There's too many voices. There could be too many voices.
They already got three freaking pitching coaches!
And Zach Greinke.
You don't need all those pitching coaches. They didn't need him to be in the stands and rah-rah and cheer and yay.
Getting interviewed by the Fox crew,
you know,
in
what
between
is
innings.
38 years old, and he's finally got the time to spend with his wife and his daughter. While he's rehabbing every day, they moved their house to be closer to the rehab facility, so that'd be easy. I mean, what more? Leave him alone. Who cares? Talk about making something out of something that's nothing. He was never pitching this year. Never pitching this year. It made zero sense for him to jeopardize whatever's left of his Hall of Fame career to try to pitch a couple of games and not know what he was going to. He hasn't had anything resembling a spring training. He wasn't going to be able to, you know, go down and rehab for a month. You know, not just regular rehab from injury, but get up to Major League Baseball speed. Build up his stamina. Be able to throw more than 20 pitches. This whole, you know, bagging on Justin Verlander is such a crock. You got to find something else to be angry with. Yeah, you know, the idea of people get mad that, you know, Jim Crane didn't go over the tax line. Look, I wanted him to go over the tax line. But you know what? They made a smart business decision in that you're only going to go over the tax line at the deadline this year if you could get a major impact player. And the only guy who fit that bill was Max Scherzer. And once Max Scherzer said, I'm only playing for LA or San Diego, well, that was out the door. And as much as this offseason is going to be a measuring stick for James Click, what he did at the deadline was really good. He rebuilt the entire bullpen and basically didn't spend a dollar. He didn't spend a dollar. He didn't give up any top prospects. He didn't need any money. He did all right. But now it's going to be the offseason, and now you got to show you got some stones. All right, and saying, well, we're not going to make an offer to Justin Verlander, or we're only going to offer Carlos Correa some horse poo. That's not having stones. That's being a coward. That's being afraid to put your butt on the line. For the guys who put their butts on the line every single day. You know, tell you what, Marcus Simeon's going to sign for 5 years and $160 million, if not more. He's going to be 32. You know what? And I absolutely would have given. I'm glad that they made the decision to give Verlander the QO and make sure that they got that draft pick compensation if he assigns somewhere else, if he doesn't accept it. Because now you're putting on another team to say, you know what? If I'm going to give up, or, you know, if we're going to let the Astros have that compensation, well, what am I going to offer? You're going to offer at least 2 years, and probably north of $20 million, probably like 25, like 2 years, $50 million. Verlander had a throwing session today where between 15 and 20 teams were reported to be there, including the Mets, the Yankees, and the Red Sox. Was hitting as high as 97 on a gun, and according to Joel Sherman, one team executive, who was not the Mets, by the way, one team executive apparently told him he threw all his pitches and he looked good. Look, we know Verlander's not a regular human. So what do you think now that he's got a brand new elbow ligament, what do you think he's going to look like come March or April? Probably going to look like Justin Verlander. And look, you don't have to rush. You don't want to rush Verlander next year. You probably don't even want him hitting the majors till mid-May. Because you know the guy coming off Tommy John surgery, you don't want him throwing more than 150 innings. Hell, last year before the season got cut down to 60 games, Jeff Luhnow said the Astros were going to hold Lance McCullers Jr. at 120 innings coming off TJ. You want Verlander for the second half of the year and for the playoffs. That's what you want Justin Verlander for. And the following year, okay, take the gloves off of him. But we got to stop with the, they can't pay this guy or it's too much or none of these deals ever work out, because that's a lie. Max Scherzer is one of those deals. Clayton Kershaw is one of those deals. And boy, it looks like the Dodgers might be getting out just in time on that, because they've gotten through all of Kershaw's contract. And this year, he only made 22 starts. He's got some forearm tightness, and we know what that means. But they got through his whole contract, and they won a World Series. They went to a bunch of World Series, and they won the division. They playoffs every freaking year. You know, this idea, all these contracts don't work. No, the Pujols contract obviously didn't work because he fell apart with injuries. And people like to point to A-Rod. A-Rod's first contract, the one he signed with Texas, 10 years, 252. Dude won multiple MVPs!
A-Rod, the first contract worked out so well, he got another one.
Yeah! He's so great, he was able to opt out and get more money! Just... You know, Brian Cashman was mad because Cashman told him, if you opt out, I'm not going to re-sign you. Not because he didn't want to, like, Alex is worth it or not, but because the Rangers were paying a chunk of his salary every year, and he didn't want to lose. He opted out and re-upped. He lost all the money the Rangers were paying him.
Now he's paying him full price.
So Alex went to George, and George said, yep, no problem, Alex, I'll pay you. And Cashman was mad because A-Rod and his team went over his head, and they went right to George Steinbrenner. You know, look, the Astros knew they were going into this year with a lot of young pitchers. And the only guy coming into the year, really before they went and got Jake Odorizzi, that wasn't going to have an innings limit was going to be Zach Greinke. You were going to have an innings limit on Fromber. It didn't matter because he missed 2 months of the season. You were going to have an innings limit on Jose Urquidy. Well, he was on the IL two separate times for the same shoulder injury. You saw how they babied Luis Garcia because his previous high in innings pitch was 108.2. And this year, including the playoffs, I think he threw 170 innings. Odorizzi got a late start, then went on the IL. And it really is amazing that they patchworked this whole thing to 95 wins. You know, they won a division. They went to Game 6 of the World Series. There was no Verlander. There was no Cole. There was no Charlie Morton. There was no Dallas Keuchel. They didn't have any of those guys. And they didn't even have Lance McCullers Jr. They did it with all the young guys who are battling injury. Yeah, they can afford it. But there's a different reason for why the pocket might be a little tight. We'll get into it next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
I'm going to take a minute here to tell you about the West Bar and Grill. You know, the West is the Beaumont institution. The West, always a great place to catch all the games all the time. So they have all the games all the time. It's hard to find a place in Beaumont that's got Sunday ticket and you can watch every game at a market. Well, you could do that at the West. And you can enjoy, you can eat like a champ at the West. They got steak, shrimp, wings, burgers, catfish. You'll find something you love on the menu. And of course, they offer all your favorite beers, wines, and spirits. Enjoy your drinks while you're taking the games, while you're playing your favorite pub games, because, well, they got all of them at the West. Pool, darts, ping pong, shuffleboard, arcade games, you name it, they got it at the West. Happy hour is always in effect all day up till 6 o'clock. Ask for my friend Mike Hamilton. Mike's the owner. He's going to take great care of you. The West Bar and Grill, 6445 Calder Avenue in Beaumont, half mile north of I-10. Check out their Facebook page for event at the West Bar and Grill. Get your friends together and head to the West, a Beaumont institution. Now, in addition to Correa and Yuli winning gold gloves, I tell you, if Correa didn't win a gold glove this year, there was going to be a crime committed. Because the only way he didn't win that gold glove was if people were committing crimes against him. Yuli's been deserving for years. I'm glad he finally got his recognition. So he gets a batting title and a gold glove in the same year. By the way, the Astros picked up his option for $8 million. That's right. $8 million. Yuli Gurriel was probably the biggest bargain in baseball this year. Batting champ, gold glove, made pennies compared to what other guys, his age, his experience level, his prowess level. Oh, yeah, he was one of the best bargains in baseball. Now, Dusty Baker is a finalist for Manager of the Year alongside Kevin Cash of the Rays, who, of course, was last known for taking out Blake Snell out of the World Series when he was absolutely dealing so that they could go to the bullpen and lose that game. And Scott Service of the Mariners, who did a terrific job with the Mariners this year. That was a very young team, dealt with a lot of injuries, and they actually wound up finishing second in the division, overtook the A's. They had a really good season. They had a negative run differential, and they had a really good season. So Scott Service certainly deserving of being for consideration. Now, Luis García was named as a finalist for Rookie of the Year. To me, Luis García should be the Rookie of the Year. It shouldn't even be a question. The other candidates are Randy Arozarena of the Rays and Juan DeFranco of the Rays. Now, here's the issue I have with Juan DeFranco being considered for Rookie of the Year. And that is, he basically played a half a season. I mean, he didn't even play a half. He played 70 games. At least if he played 81 games, he would have played a half season. He played 70 games. He had good numbers. He didn't have oh my gosh numbers. He had good numbers. But he also only played 70 games, man. He didn't have to play the whole season. The league didn't get a book on him. He never had to deal with any kind of nagging injury. Like, he never went through all that stuff. I'm not a proponent of, well, just project his numbers out, because baseball doesn't work like that. No sport works like that. So I have a hard time with a guy who played 70 freaking games being in like a finalist for an award. Now, Randy Arozarena had a really good second half after a so-so first half. And he had a pretty good season. He had 20 homers and 69 RBI. He had 20 stolen bases. He was caught 10 times. He struck out 170 times. He had .274, .356 on base, .815 OPS. They're pretty good numbers. They're not holy cow, this guy was unbelievable. He was the best. He was the greatest. And not like that. But they're pretty good numbers. Now, Louis Garcia, he had numbers like that. Especially among, like, other rookie pitchers. Because when you look at Garcia's numbers, he was 11-8, 3.48 ERA, made 28 starts, led all AL rookie pitchers in WAR, in wins, in innings pitched, and in strikeouts. So among rookie pitchers, he was top of the charts everywhere. That's the second highest strikeout total by a rookie in Astros history, no less. He was far and away the best pitcher of all rookies. And he was, you know, a handful of innings short of qualifying for the ERA title, and he'd have been fourth. I mean, fourth is pretty good. And that's while having pitched, like I said, the most amount of innings he ever pitched in a professional season was 108.2. And that was maximum high A. And now at the major league level at 24 years old, he threw 155 and a third innings. And he did so where he stepped up at a time when the Astros had every starting pitcher in trouble with injuries and whatnot. And he absolutely was a revelation for them this year. He did it on a team that was desperate for pitching. Yeah, Louis Garcia should win it. I think Randy Arozarena will win it, but it should be Garcia. To be a rookie pitcher who never pitched above high A, and to do that in your first full season, to be that good, to be that impactful in a playoff race, yeah, I think it should be Louis Garcia. I won't be surprised when it's not. Told you, Gerrit Cole will probably be runner-up to Robbie Ray for the Cy Young. The other finalist is Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn doesn't even have enough innings pitched to qualify for the ERA title. How can you be Cy Young? You don't even have enough innings pitched to qualify for ERA. You need 162 innings pitched to qualify. And Lynn was like 150. How are you even a finalist? That's an embarrassment. Not a surprise, I guess, though. Told you about Justin Verlander. With all the scouts who were there and all the teams who were there, I would think it very surprising if he took the Astros' $18.5 million qualifying offer. I mean, he could. I just doubt it. And we all figured Alex Bregman was hurt. Well, Alex Bregman had surgery on his right wrist. And you heard Bregman talking about how his top hand was bad. Well, right wrist, that's your top hand when you're a right-hand batter. So he had surgery on his right wrist and is expected to be able to start resuming baseball activities in January and be ready for the start of spring training. Are we going to take a break already? Why is the clock moving so fast? Sean, you need to slow the clock down. I need more time. I need more time to talk about stuff.
I'll work on that.
All right. When we come back, we will get into your Houston Texans because I got some bleeping questions next.